One of the joys of studying the books of the Kings and Chronicles is you're finding how the Bible fits together. You know, a lot of times you think, well, I read one book, then that guy dies, then the next guy comes on the scene. But that's not how the Bible goes. A lot of these people were contemporaries. A lot of these people served in different parts of the nation, but they served at the same time, maybe different responsibilities to communicate to different people. But it's neat as you go through a study to be able to see that. Tonight, we find ourselves once again a little bit around the life, not a little bit, a lot around the life of Joash. If you remember last week, we looked at the influence of how God can use a simple couple, one or two individuals who are willing to stand for truth. And we saw that in 2 Kings chapter 11 with the priest Jehoiada and his wife Jehosheba. These two individuals loved the Lord, and they stood for righteousness in a moment and in a time that was chaotic. It was dangerous. Evil was unleashing upon the nation inside the royal family. There was an all-out coup, an all-out bloodbath against the house of David as they were getting ready to attack and destroy so that Athaliah could stay on the throne. We looked at that at chapter 11, verse number 1. In the midst of that, Jehosheba, this lady, acted with tremendous bravery and tremendous courage, and she hid a young boy named Joash, who had just been born. He was probably a newborn, not very old. And she took him and hid him with her in the house of the Lord. Her husband was involved in that. And we know from 2 Kings chapter 11, verse number 3, that they hid the boy 6 years. In the seventh year of his life, they plan and pray, and they begin to present Joash, the rightful king, to the nation of Israel, or to the tribe, or to the land of Judah. And we found that God used that really and truthfully to transform and to keep his promise. Remember, it was God's promise that there would always be a seed of David on the throne. That was the promise that God made to David. That promise will be fulfilled ultimately in the nation when Jesus Christ sits upon the throne of his father David in the millennial reign. We saw that these two blessed, standing for righteousness, and some things were important to them. God's will was important to them. God's word was important. God's work was important as they stood for righteousness. And God honored that. And in honoring that, God gave them tremendous influence over a nation, over a king, and even in the life of their own son, who we're going to read about once again, his murder tonight for righteousness. So Jehoiada and Jehosheba are wonderful, splendid, godly, righteous people. But I got news for you. They were just people like you and me. Sometimes we think that, well, of course God could use the people in the Bible because the people in the Bible are superheroes. I got news for you. There's one superhero in the Bible, and his name is Jesus Christ. Everybody else is just a sinner saved by grace, by God, created by God, and as normal as you and I are. But I have seen God take ordinary people and do extraordinary things. And extraordinary things doesn't have to be on a macro level. It can be on a micro level. God may not influence a nation with you and I, although he will with his church, but God can influence my family. God can influence my job. God can influence my neighborhood. God can influence my friends. And God can do all kinds of things that we never dreamed of with a life that's just surrendered to him. And so Jehoiada and Jehosheba, they're evidence of that. We come in tonight to 2 Kings chapter number 12, and I want to read to you. kind of in a chronological way, the life and kingship of Joash. And for that, I'm going to have to flip back and forth, so you're going to need to be ready. I'm going to read the text to you, and then I'm going to announce my sermon title. And then I think I got a couple of things that will help us understand a needed principle in today's world, maybe in your family, maybe in your kids' life, maybe in your own life. But I think it's going to answer some questions of that God's people are having today. Pick up, if you would, in 2 Kings chapter 12, verse number 1. Put your hand in 2 Chronicles 24. Here we go. In the seventh year of Jehu, Joash began to reign. In 40 years reigned he in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Ziba of Beersheba. And Joash did that which was right in the sight of the Lord all his days, wherein Jehoiada the priest instructed him. But the high places were not taken away. The people still sacrificed and burned incense in the high places. Flip, if you would, to 2 Chronicles 24. Just kind of catch a little bit of the young man's life. Look at verse number 3. And Jehoiada took for him, that's Joash, two wives. And he begat sons and daughters. Come back, if you would, to 2 Kings chapter 12. Pick up verse number 4. And Joash said to the priest, all the money of the dedicated things that is brought into the house of the Lord, even the money of everyone that passeth the account, the money that every man is set at, and all the money that cometh into any man's heart to bring into the house of the Lord, let the priest take it to them, every man of his acquaintance, and let them repair the breaches of the house wheresoever any breach shall be found. But it was so that in the 23rd year of King Joash, the priest had not repaired the breaches of the house. Then King Joash called for Jehoiada the priest and the other priests, and said unto them, why repair ye not the breaches of the house? Now therefore, receive no more money of your acquaintance, but deliver it for the breaches of the house. And the priest consented to receive no more money of the people, neither to repair the breaches of the house. But Jehoiada the priest took a chest and bored a hole in the lid of it and set it beside the altar on the right side as one cometh into the house of the Lord. And the priest that kept the door put therein all the money that was brought into the house of the Lord. And it was so when they saw that there was much money in the chest that the king's scribe and the high priest came up and they put up in bags and told the money that was found in the house of the Lord. And they gave the money, being told into the hands of them that did the work, that had the oversight of the house of the Lord. And they laid it out to the carpenters and builders that wrought upon the house of the Lord, and to masons and hewers of stone, and to buy timber and huge stone to repair the breaches of the house of the Lord, and for all that was laid out for the house to repair it. Howbeit, there were not made for the house of the Lord bowls of silver, snuffers, basins, trumpets, any vessels of gold or vessels of silver of the money that was brought into the house of the Lord. But they gave that to the workmen and repaired therewith the house of the Lord. Moreover, they reckoned not with the men into whose hand they delivered the money to be bestowed on workmen, for they dealt faithfully. The trespass money and sin money was not brought into the house of the Lord. It was the priest. Go, if you would, to 2 Chronicles, chapter number 24. Pastor, why were we reading about Joash's life? Why are we reading about the repairing of the temple? Well, if you remember, it had been destroyed through battles, and it was in disarray. If you look at chapter 24 of 2 Chronicles, verse number 4, the Bible says, and it came to pass after this that Joash was minded to repair the house of the Lord. So he had set his heart that he was going to repair the house of God. Pick up, if you would, at verse number 14, because 2 Chronicles 24, 14 lets us know that they did finish that. And it says, and when they had finished it, They brought the rest of the money before the king and Jehoiada, whereof were made vessels for the house of the Lord, even vessels to minister and to offer withal, spoons and vessels of gold and silver. And they offered burnt offerings in the house of the Lord continually all the days of Jehoiada. All right, pick up if you would, 2 Chronicles 24, verse number 15. So they finished the building of that temple, and verse 15 says, but Jehoiada waxed old and was full of days when he died. 130 years old was he when he died. And they buried him in the city of David among the kings, because he had done good in Israel, both toward God and toward his house. Now, after the death of Jehoiada, came the princes of Judah, and they made obeisance to the king. Then the king hearkened unto them, and they left the house of the Lord God of their fathers, and served groves and idols, and wrath came upon Judah and Jerusalem for this their trespass. Yet he, being the Lord, sent prophets to them to bring them again unto the Lord, and they testified against them, but they would not give ear. And the Spirit of God came upon Zechariah, the son of Jehoiada, the priest, which stood above the people, and said unto them, thus saith God, why transgress ye the commandments of the Lord, that ye cannot prosper? Because ye have forsaken the Lord, he hath also forsaken you. And they conspired against him and stoned him with stones at the commandment of the king. We talked about this last week. Joash killed Jehoiada's boy in the court of the house of the Lord. Thus, Joash the king remembered not the kindness which Jehoiada his father had done to him, but slew his son. And when he died, he said, the Lord look upon it and require it. It came to pass at the end of the year that the host of Syria came up against him. And they came to Judah and Jerusalem and destroyed all the princes of the people from among the people and sent all of the spoil of them unto the king of Damascus. For the army of the Syrians came with a small company of men, and the Lord delivered a very great host into their hand, because they had forsaken the Lord God of their fathers. So they executed judgment against Joash. Now it's interesting. Stop your place there. Come back to chapter 12 of 2 Kings. And look, if you would, at verse number 18. Or verse number 17. This is how Joash gets rid of them. Then Hazael, king of Syria, went up and fought against Gath and took it. And Hazael set his face to go up to Jerusalem. And Joash, king of Judah, took all the hallowed things that Jehoshaphat and Jehoram and Ahaziah, his father, kings of Judah, had dedicated, and his own hallowed things, and all the gold that was found in the treasure of the house of the Lord and in the king's house, and sent it to Hazael, king of Syria, and he went away from Jerusalem. So they're attacking him, and Joash makes a decision to gut and pillage and pilfer the house of God, and he gives this man all the money to go away. Pretty desperate move. Come, if you would, to 2 Chronicles chapter 24. Look at verse number 25, and you will find why he was so desperate. And when they were departed from him, this is the Syrian army, for they left him in great disease. That means that Joash was wounded. His own servants conspired against him for the blood of the sons of Jehoiada the priest, and slew him on his bed, and he died, and they buried him in the city of David. But they buried him not in the sepulcher of the kings. Come back, if you would, to 2 Kings 12. Pick up, if you would, at verse number 19. And the rest of the acts of Joash and all that he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles? Yeah, we just read it. And his servants arose and made a conspiracy and slew Joash in the house of Milo, which goeth down to Selah. For Jossachar, the son of Shimeath, and Jehozabad, the son of Shomer, his servants, smote him, and he died. And they buried him with his fathers in the city of David, and Amaziah, his son, reigned in his stead. 7 years old, the boy becomes king. And think that he died by the murder of his own servants in his own bed. And we watch this young man with all the opportunity and all the promise and all the hope as a little boy entering into a position of authority and rulership in the nation. We watch him as he's nurtured. We watch him as he's mentored. We watch him have every opportunity in the world. And then we watch him die like a fool. We watch him leave the house of God, worship false gods. We watch him as he unleashes the murder of his own heart and kills that boy. We watch him as God sends prophets to him and he rejects and refuses that. God then sends a chastisement and a Syrian army against them, and he faces the judgment of his sin. His life is required. He's wounded in that battle, thinking that he could still weasel his way. He tries to buy his freedom. Problem is, the Bible says, the wages of sin is what, class? Death. And so Joash faced the wage of his sin, could not escape it. I want to preach a message or draw a lesson for our church tonight. And I've entitled it this, Salvation. It must be personal. Salvation. It must be personal. Pastor, how do you explain Joash's life? I'll tell you how you explain it. He didn't have a personal relationship with God. He had a proxied relationship with God. And I'm finding that Joash is a fabulous example and an application to really and truthfully the lives that we find living today in our world. We find people that make some profession of faith, but it's not a possession of the Lord. It's just a profession. Parents, I beg your attention tonight. Child 4, 5, 6, 7 makes a profession of faith. But when they grow into adulthood and they grow into where that sin nature comes upon them, let me tell you something. I was saved when I was 4 years old. I knew I didn't want to go to hell. I believed I was a sinner. And I knew that Jesus was the Savior. And so I got on my knees by my bed and I prayed and asked Christ into my heart. And I believe that God saved me that day. But I had no idea at that point in time how wicked my sin nature was. And as I began to grow to 12... 13, 14, 15, 17, my sin nature ramped up into my understanding. And I can remember the drive of that sin nature. Now, praise God, the drive of my sin nature ran into the presence of the Spirit of God. And as my sin nature began to rev up, and God began to meet me with that, and I could feel that conflict, that contrariness that Paul talks about. I knew I was saved, but it wasn't until I got older that I realized how precious the salvation of God really is, because I meant what I said. I do deserve to go to hell, and so does everybody in this room. And we need to understand that the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanseth us from our sin is amazing, powerful blood. But Joash was a young man who his relationship to God was never for himself. It was proxied. So as the young man grows and his sin nature begins to develop in him, we find that as long as there is a proxy there, he's okay. But when the proxy or the crutch is removed and the opportunity for his own self to be free, he was a wicked man. Pastor, I don't understand. My kids grew up in a Christian home. I brought them to church. I put them in a Christian school. I lived right in front of them. I did everything I could for them. And now they never recognize God at all. What happened? They have a proxy relationship. They don't have a personal relationship. No parent, no wife, no husband, no friend, nobody in this room is the Holy Spirit. And what happens is, we try to be the Holy Spirit in people's lives. We find that we kind of build these fences around our kids and we try to pull them in this direction. And the problem is, it's our relationship that is toting them on our back. But when we're gone, or the relationship proper is gone, and they're all to themselves, this explosion takes place. That's what happened in Joash's life. Pastor, are there signs? Are there signs that a relationship is proxied? Well, I went back and I read Joash's life. And I did find three areas where I think we read pretty fast. But if we'll slow down, there are some signs that tell about a proxied relationship, that his relationship wasn't personal. The first one's found in 2 Kings chapter 12. Look, if you would, at verse number 2. We read this fast just to prove to you that this idea of proxy is from the Word of God. The Bible says in verse number 2, "And Joash did that was right in the sight of the Lord all his days." And we would all look at that and say, well, this guy's doing right. But read what the Bible says. "And Joash did that which was right in the sight of the Lord all his days, wherein Jehoiada the priest instructed him." The man didn't do right all his days of his life. He did that which was right in the Lord as long as Jehoiada was there. Once Jehoiada was removed, there was no more right going on. By the way, just let me say this. I hope you're righteous for yourself. I hope you understand that personal relationship with Jesus Christ must belong to you. Nobody gets to heaven because of anybody else. So here's Jehoiada. Now, I do believe that Jehoiada might have missed some things. Signs. Go, if you would, to 2 Chronicles chapter 24. Look, if you would, at verse number 3. I don't think I'm drawing straws, but I think this has got biblical application. Verse number 2 says, "And Joash did that which was right in the sight of the Lord all the days of Jehoiada." Again, we are told about the importance of Jehoiada's walk. Verse number 3, "And Jehoiada took for him 2 wives. You know, I know there was some customary back then for mom and dad to choose wives. But the Bible is very clear to tell us that it was Jehoiada that took for him two wives. I wonder what kind of wife Joash would have chosen. I wonder, maybe Joash was choosing a wife over here, and Jehoiada knew that that wouldn't have been a right choice for a king. That's not a godly choice. So Joash, let's get these two. But Joash wants this. No. Come on, we're here. No, but I really like this one. No. Come over here. The company you keep reveals a lot about you. Mom and dad, if your child runs and dates and relates and fills their life with an ungodly direction in their friends, and they want nothing to do with righteous friends, but you keep having to pull them over here, you need to understand they're going where they have agreement. Well, my kid's a Christian. They just can't make right choices. No, your kid is following his agreement. Don't build your little white picket fence and say your kid's okay when they're not okay. There's some signs. Pastor, my saved husband, all he wants to do is go to the bar and drink. Or my wife, all she wants to do is run with her friends. They don't ever want to come. They don't ever want to have any church people over. They don't ever want to do anything with righteous people. It's always unrighteous. We're always going to unrighteous people. And I'm always having to pull them back and pull them back. And then I'll look at you and say, maybe they're not saved. Oh, no. They're a Christian. They've been a Christian since they were a little kid. I have found that Christian people love Christian people. By this shall all men know that you are my disciple if you have love one for another. There were signs. Jehoiada had to choose two wives. I wonder what kind of wife Joash would have chosen. Look at another sign. Look, if you would, at chapter 24. Look at verse number 4. The Bible says, and it came to pass after this that Joash was minded to repair the house of the Lord. It doesn't say he was called of God to do it. It doesn't say that the Lord led him. It says that Joash was minded to repair the house of the Lord. So this was his own will. Now, we read the text, and if you remember in the text where Jehoiada was in charge of raising the money. And Jehoiada was raising the money, and he's an honest and godly man. And Jehoiada, therefore, by raising the money, is also responsible when the building starts. But the young man, Joash, he's anxious, and he's driven. And he actually confronts Jehoiada and exercises his will. He exalts himself over his spiritual dad, over the man that saved his life, over that. And he says, I'm the king. You're going to do it my way. Go do it. Jehoiada, waiting upon the Lord, walking with the Lord, does not feel like it's time. Joash says, I don't care about the time. I want my will and I want it now. Pastor, my kid is just strong-willed. My kid, they're just in their terrible little twos now. They're throwing their fit. They're doing this. They're this, and they're just imposing their will. Parent, let me tell you something. Your kid's will, if they're saved, is under the tenderness of the Spirit of God. And if a person is not able to humble themselves in their will, and their will is always exalted, and there's never any humility, and there's always a demand, and there's always this rage. When they don't get their way, they rage. If you're around somebody and they don't get their will, and they rage when they don't get their will, that is a spiritual sign. If you have a teenager, that probably means they're in some kind of immorality. It's been my experience. that the parents that bring me their kids and their kids just rage and explode and punch holes in the wall. The boys usually are in pornography and the girls have usually given themselves away. And the anger is inside and the exaltation of their will. By the way, I remember a man named Lucifer or an angel named Lucifer, and he exalted his what? His will. So Joash, as long as Jehoiada is instructing him, but there's moments when that will is just powered through and there's defiancy in there and nobody's going to change his mind. That can go to anybody. Number three sign. Look, if you would, at chapter 24, verse number 14. Second Chronicles. This is after they had finished this. And when they had finished building it, they brought the rest of the money before the king and Jehoiada, whereof were made vessels for the house of the Lord, even vessels to minister and to offer withal, spoons and vessels of gold and silver. And they offered burnt offerings in the house of the Lord continually all the days of Jehoiada. See, there was a sign in what wife he was going to choose as far as how he related to people. Maybe he was driven to relate to people that were like him. Jehoiada's trying to pull him over here. Let me give you two good godly wives. He's exalted his will now, and Jehoiada had to back down from that because he's the king. Now we've come to this idea of worship. And Joash is all about worship as long as Jehoiada is leading the worship. But once Jehoiada is gone, there's no more worship. So really and truthfully, Joash goes to church because Jehoiada makes him go. There's no desire on his own for worship. Let me tell you something. If you're saved, you desire to worship God. If you're saved, you desire to be in the house of God. If you're saved, you love the Bible. Amen? If you're saved, You want to worship God. We're having a problem. And Pastor Jay and I have been talking about this problem. We have people that are coming to our church. And Mom and Dad, you're in here, but your kids aren't in the church service. They're sitting out there. Most of them are in here eating our cookies. Or they're in the lobby. Or we've got to run them out of the room over here. And you're in here, and your kid wants nothing to do with worship. And you've got to get in the church. But my kid's a believer. Listen, if you're a believer, you want to worship God. You better be careful about proxying the relationship of personal knowledge and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, in the life of your kid, in the life of your husband, in the life of your wife. And this is what happened to Joash. Jehoiada was his Holy Spirit. And so once he passed off the scene, there's this explosion that takes place. Salvation must be personal. Must be personal. Let me just give you a couple thoughts here to help this. You ever test your kids? How many people have kids in here that are under 19 years of age? Let me see your hand. All right, I got three teenagers now. Tommy's birthday is today. He's 13. I'm losing my hair, man. Listen very carefully to your pastor. My pastor taught me this, and I need to teach you this. Don't build a white picket fence around your family. The average mentality of Christian people is, if I can build this little fence around my kid where they've got a church and they got school and they got this and they don't have cable and they don't have access to this, they don't go to movies, they don't do this, they don't read this, I've got them all boxed in here, then they'll be some way holy. Let me explain to you. Jesus said it's not what's without a man that defiles a man, but it's what? It's within. Every kid needs to be born again. Your job as a parent is to make sure that when your child leaves your home, they're saved. And what you do about that is you're constantly looking for signs. You're constantly examining your kid. You're constantly looking and saying, now my kid's got a bent over here and he wants to go over here and be with these people, but these people don't know the Lord. How come he doesn't want to come over here? Or my child, she exalts her will and she gets defiant. And if I come at them from an authority position, they're just exalted. Or where's my kid at church? How come my kid doesn't want to come to? You're looking constantly to see if there's anything abnormal about maybe they don't know the Lord. Second thing you're doing is you're giving them opportunities for their heart to be exposed. Don't insulate your child so much for evil that you can't even see their own heart. Most parents, they just suffocate their kid all around righteousness where that kid couldn't sin if they wanted to. I would rather know my kid is a sinner under my roof than when they get out and explode for all hell. That's your job. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of your kids. Amazes me how many parents are terrified of their kids. Don't be afraid of the spiritual fight. Don't be afraid to call sin, sin, and righteousness, righteous. I got news for you. We have the Lord Jesus, amen? We can pray. And we're so afraid of something happening, but you better bring the fight to them. And stop trying to be their Holy Spirit. Oh, no, Pastor. I mean, my kid's had sex with 14 different girls. He's 18 years old. But he knows Jesus. He's a whoremonger. That's what the Bible says. And the Bible says that all whoremongers shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Yeah. Jehoiada carried Joash until Jehoiada died. And then Joash just went. He didn't have a personal walk. Great illustration of the responsibility to make sure that our relationship is personal. And by the way, some adults trust the same thing. I pray that you've had that moment. Shall we pray?